God Loves Us, Elder Hartman Rector, J.R. Hartman Rector, J.R. Conference Report, October 1969, pages 74-77. It is intended that man is to be like God. The scriptures declare that man was made in the beginning in the image and likeness of God. Paul, speaking of Jesus Christ, said that he, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He further declared that he was the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. God, the Father of the spirits of all men, is in all respects like his Son Jesus Christ, whom we, at least to some extent, know, for he has revealed himself to us, and although we may not understand all things about Jesus Christ, we know what manner of man he was from records that were kept of his exemplary life. What is more, in the words of John we understand that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, man to be like God. From these and other scriptures, it becomes clear that it is intended that man is to be like God. In fact, the Master made this a central part of his teachings when he walked in mortality among men. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. This was his commission to us. Then, the question of questions becomes, what is God like? I have often felt the reason we don't understand God is because we are so unlike him. By that, I mean that even though man is like God physically, spiritually man is far from God. Fortunately, the Lord has given us specific direction and guidance to get us into condition so we grow closer to him spiritually also. However, regretfully, the man draweth nigh unto God with their mouths, and honoreth him with their lips, their hearts are far from him. This is true primarily because we are concerned with what we want to do rather than with what God wants us to do. Root cause of problems. If we face facts, we will realize we are all afflicted with the same malady. It is the root cause of all the problems and suffering in the world, both collectively and individually, and has always been. What is this cause? It is a very simple, one word answer: selfishness. I use this word in its broadest sense, which includes greed and covetousness. We are selfish, and selfishness is not like God. We endlessly do what we want to do instead of doing what the Lord wants us to do. It isn't that we don't know what the Lord wants us to do. He has made it abundantly clear through revelation to his prophets. But we are too concerned with our own wants. How does it happen that we are this way? What makes us so selfish? I don't believe we are born this way. The spirit comes to this earth essentially free of selfish desire, but it appears it is made selfish at a very early age. Selfishness to be overcome. The human infant comes into this world in a completely helpless condition. It cannot support itself. Therefore, the Lord has placed in the heart of the adult male and female great love for infants. This love is frequently expressed by supplying every wish of this infant to the point where, after about 5 to 6 years of this kind of treatment, the child begins to feel that the whole world revolves around it. Me first and I want the biggest form. Some of his first phrases. Parents suddenly come to the startling realization that they have a spoiled child on their hands. They then embark on a long, drawn-out program that will only take 50 to 70 years to talk Junior out of being selfish. Sometimes they never succeed. On the success of this endeavor, the happiness of the individual depends. The selfish man suffers eternally from his selfishness, for never can a selfish man become like God. Instead, he has erected himself as his idol. Of course, this is not necessarily the only way that we become selfish. Man is by nature fallen, therefore self-centered. Someone has said, most men, born into this world, creep selfishly into nameless graves, while every now and then one man forgets himself into immortality. Qualifications for ministry. The Lord saw fit to give instruction on this subject to his children early in this dispensation. In February 1829, he set forth the qualifications for the labors of the ministry. He said, and faith, hope, charity and love, with an eye single to the glory of God, qualify him for the work. Now, the faith, hope, charity, and love are of vital importance, but the eye single to the glory of God is crucial. This means that all decisions must be made on the side of the Lord. Instead of forever doing what we want to do, we must do what the Lord wants done. The Lord says our eye must be single to his glory, and in the scripture it is spelled I. Of course, this is figuratively speaking. I believe he means the capital I, or UE. We must be single to the glory of God. When we act, we must always have in mind what the Lord has said. Of course, the ideal would be to harmonize our desires with the will of the Lord. Then we can always do what we want and still have the approval of the Lord. But this is seldom the case. The Lord continued this revelation on the qualification for the labors of the ministry by saying, remember faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, godliness, charity, humility, diligence. Surely the Lord feels these attributes are vitally important to our success in His work, for He admonishes us to remember them. Meaning of godliness: we are, to some extent, familiar with most of these attributes, but what does He mean by godliness? We think instantly He must mean that we must become like God, but how do we do that? Perhaps it means to become perfect in all these qualifications He has listed. No, if that were the case, He would have needed only one qualification: godliness. Godliness must mean something special. Perhaps it has to do with the distinguishing characteristic of God. What is the distinguishing characteristic of our Heavenly Father? John gave us a clue when he said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." This was so very difficult for me to understand before the missionaries knocked on my door, for, from this scripture and others quite similar, it appeared that God and love were one and the same. Is God, then, just an emotion? You can't see love. You may see the effect of love or the lack of it, but love is not a corporate entity. When I learned the truth that God is an exalted man of flesh and bone and spirit, then I understood what John was saying, that love is God's distinguishing characteristic. Why God loves us? God loves us. We know it. The scriptures declare it, and from the experiences of each one of us, we know it to be true. Almost no one doubts this fact. God loves us. But why? Why does God love us when we often do not deserve His love? One might say, oh, because we are His children. It is true, we are His children. But is that the reason He loves us? Does He only love what belongs to Him? If we are not careful, we will ascribe to God our own selfishness. Another might say, He loves us because He knows us and knows potential. It is true, He does know our potential, but this would imply He would love those with greater potential more than those of less potential. What if you had little or no potential? Would He not love you? There must be some other reason why our Heavenly Father loves us. Does He love us because we are good? I hope not. I'm afraid many of us would be unloved. I don't know why God loves us, but I believe the scriptures give us a clue. God doesn't love us because we are good. God loves us because He is good. God is good, and so He loves us, and those who are the best love the best. It appears that only if you are good do you receive a reward for loving. The Lord requires us to love those who don't deserve it. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? Saith the Master, for sinners also love those that love them. Quality of unselfish love. It is easy to love people who love us. It is much more difficult to love people who not only don't love us, but don't even like us. But if we are to be like our Father in heaven, who maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, then we must love these people who don't like us, and we'll have to be good to do that. I have seen this godlike quality of unselfish love in all the best men I have known or read about. Jesus wept over those who rejected Him and prayed for those who crucified Him. Joseph Smith's heart was filled with love and compassion for all men, even for his persecutors. All the prophets have had this great quality. I never had the privilege of knowing President George Albert Smith, but from the testimony of those who knew him, love radiated from his countenance for all men. I know this to be a quality of President David O. McKay. I have seen and personally experienced the all-encompassing love of our present, beloved prophet. Those who are the best love the best, good in every man. If we are good, we will look for and find the good in others. It is there. There is good in every man. In fact, I believe every man is superior to every other man in something. If you look for it, you will find it. But you can see only what you have eyes to see. It depends solely on how good you are as to whether you see good or not. All of the commandments given us by the Lord are calculated to make us good. This is to help us become like Him. Only as we live in obedience to these commandments will we be able to know real love for others and real joy ourselves. I bear witness that God, our Heavenly Father, does live in that He loves us, and as we have love one for another and for all men, we will become more like Him and find the great joy and happiness that is the object and design of our existence. I bear this witness to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.